Good evening and welcome to my first webinar, Be Prepared Herbally. This one is entitled Challenges Ahead, and I am trying a new feature on the PowerPoint that allows me to insert my webcam into the slide. So, this particular webinar doesn't have extensive notes because I just want to kind of talk from my feelings about what's going on and just, you know, not be quite so heavily scripted. There are some handouts though that I posted with the GoToWebinar that you can download if you want to follow along with the slides. I want to start off by just telling a little bit about why I'm doing this and why this is so important to me. Some of you who have known me for a long time may have heard me tell this story. But when I was a teenager, I was studying to get my Nature Merit Badge to become an Eagle Scout. And I decided to study plants because they didn't run away while you looked them up in the field guide. And as I learned about plants, the field guides I had information about how Native Americans had used plants, and I found that very fascinating. I became very interested in edible and medicinal wild plants. And for about a year, even after I did what I required for the Nature Merit Badge, I continued to go look up plants. And I was on a camping trip with my scout patrol that I was patrol leader of, and we ran into a patch of stinging nettle, and we gathered some and cooked it and ate it. And that was just a really interesting experience because I thought, wow, I've eaten a wild plant. And I was sitting on a hillside, looking down into the valley and thinking about that and looking around at all the plants around me and thinking, oh, they used that one for dye and they made fishing cord out of that one and they used that one for food and they used this one for medicine. And this little voice said to me, well, if you were a loving God, wouldn't you have put everything naturally upon the face of the earth to take care of your children? And that was where I got the idea that herbs were available to us to cure us of the ailments that we came on, that we encountered on this earth. And as I was contemplating that, the voice spoke again and said, "And what will you do when the lights go out?" And I had a vision of a time when electricity was down and also distribution was down. And I saw it specifically from the medical standpoint. There were people who were sick and injured, and they didn't have the drugs. Their x-ray machines didn't work, blah, blah, blah. And they didn't quite know what to do with themselves. And that is what propelled me heavily into study of herbs, but also propelled me into emergency preparedness and so forth. Now, that was an interesting thing as I spent a lot of my teens hiking and camping and learning about plants while I was doing so. But I was in Southern California in my early 20s, and one night I was up on a hillside overlooking, it was above Anaheim, California, overlooking the valley towards Los Angeles on a very clear night where you could see the sea of lights stretching out in front of me for a very long distance. And I'd had a couple of very interesting experiences. One was a young lady I'd run into who had quit drinking milk when she found she came out. She tore to dairy. She was a teenager. Tore to dairy, found out it came out of a cow, and she wouldn't drink it. And that's when I kind of realized how disconnected from nature people are. And also had a neighbor who'd moved in and couldn't open a can, and I gave her a little manual can opener, and she couldn't figure out how to work it. And anyway, I was sitting up on top of this hillside and looking out over this vast sea of lights, and my mind kind of expanded, and I thought about all the power lines and the trucks bringing in the food and the sewer lines and the water lines and the California aqueduct bringing water from Northern California and storing it in reservoirs and pumping it over the mountains. And it was like a gigantic organism that was, you know, with the blood vessels and nerves and everything that was being kept alive. And in this image that was forming in my mind of all this, a hand reached down out of the sky and cut the power lines, and the whole thing went black. And after it had been black for a few moments, there were a lot of fires and people started looting and burning and pillaging. And that was really a even more terrifying experience for me. And that also propelled me more into emergency preparedness and also made me like really don't like living in big cities. But I had done all this stuff, studied all this stuff, did all this stuff. And I remember when the year 2000 was rolling around, and there were a lot of people concerned about Y2K. And I didn't feel like Y2K was going to be anything big. I mean, there was a possibility of it, but I didn't worry too much about it. But it came and passed, and I had started to think, I'm crazy. I could have spent all this time that I spent learning about preparedness and learning about herbal medicine preparedness and all these other things that I've done. I could have spent it making money. I'd be better off financially, whatever. And so one morning I woke up and these stories I just told you came back to me, and along with the thought of all the things that I'd done. And that little voice spoke to me and said, "Today marks the beginning of the period in time in which these things that you have learned will become increasingly important." And at that, I had no sooner heard that than the phone rang, and it was my friend Kimberly Ballas. She said, "Turn on the TV, turn on the TV." And of course, I turned on the TV and saw the 9/11. And that was quite an interesting confirmation that, I wasn't crazy, that there are going to be some difficult times and we need to be prepared for it. And I started being more willing to teach people about it. And I have done that several times. And I'll refer you to some of the previous resources again. But right now, I've felt concerned about the overall picture of the way the world is heading, but I've never had as specific of concerns as I have right now. Because, and so what I'm going to talk about in this webinar is the major concerns that I have and the things I see, and some of what I think are some of the important basic things people should do to be prepared. But I'm also doing this specifically from the standpoint that I feel like I was led into herbal medicine because I think there's going to be a major disruption in medicine. Plus, the fact that I've seen kind of the medical tyranny that's going on, and I think people are going to need alternatives to modern medicine. And I think as herbalists, we need to be prepared for this. And so I'm specifically addressing this to people who are also interested in herbs, have some experience with herbs, about what we need to do to be prepared, because I'm not so worried about myself. I'm 68 years old. I'm not afraid of dying. I have had, quite a few spiritual experiences that I feel, because I believe in Christ and I have had experiences with Christ, I feel very comfortable that when I die, I'm going to go to a beautiful place and a better life. But I am concerned about people I love and people around me, and because I feel like I was called to help those people. And it concerns me that I'm as old as I am, and I'm a little bit congested today, for in case you can't tell. And I want to be able to help. I would like to be able to help save lives. I would like to be able to help other people save lives. And so that's the purpose of this. So we're going to talk about some of these problems, ongoing supply chain disruptions, and especially disruptions in the food supply. Inflation and the potential for economic collapse, social unrest that would go with the supply chain disruption and hyperinflation and economic problems, the possibility of power and utility disruption, which happens all the time anyway in certain areas, because it just happened in Florida with the big hurricane. And it happened, the water system went down, I think it was in Jackson, Mississippi, recently. And so we're very dependent on technology. And we need to think about what we do if the technology suddenly isn't there. And also ending this with talking a little bit about the whole issue of COVID-19 vaccines and healthcare. So We'll start off with a disclaimer. Number one, I don't consider myself a prophet. I believe God has shown me some things for a specific reason. I've listened to a number of people who have prophetic gifts that I think may be giving some specific warnings, but I myself don't claim to be someone that God is giving inspiration for to basically tell other people about what's coming. I encourage you to just do your own thinking, your own prayer, your own research, and prepare in what way you feel is best for you. And I'm also not a financial advisor. I'm going to be talking about some of the economic stuff and so forth, and some of the things that I think would be wise to do. But also, again, you have to make your own decisions. You need to prayerfully think about your own situation, your loved ones, whatever, and make whatever preparations you feel are important. So, with that, let's get started with these problems. Okay, we currently, and this is not a possibility. This is not something that is a possibility. This is already starting. We are having disruptions in the supply chain that provides goods and services to us in various parts of the country. And this is something that we're not used to in America. I can see it myself on the grocery store shelves, how things are missing, how sometimes they're not there, how they fill in the shelves with other products that they have because some of the things that they normally have aren't there. I've also talked to people about it's more difficult to get parts to fix things. I've noticed even that, I used to get almost anything I ordered from Amazon within 2 days. Now, most of it comes within 3 to 5 days, if not a week. And this is being brought on partly by the war in Europe. My wife is Ukrainian, and Ukraine produces 40% of the world's wheat supply. So that's a big deal. And of course, Russia also supplies natural gas to much of Europe, which has been just cut off. And that's going to create a big problem over in Europe. And everybody's noticed the increase of prices of the fuel pumps, increasing food prices. I notice almost every time I go to the grocery store that there are things that are a lot more expensive than they were 6 months ago. And I understand that there's some shortages of the oil, especially the, I think it's called DEF, that they use to use trucking, which could put a lot of truckers out of business. Plus, the increasing fuel costs make it more difficult to truck ship things. So all this, coupled with the economic difficulties, means we're going to see increasing shortages of things, and that is especially true of food. I saw a report the other day that, and I don't remember the exact percentages, but wheat, corn, and rice, three of the major staple crops, their production in the United States due to drought is down somewhere around 30 to 40%. That means that we're producing maybe a close to a half or two-thirds of what we normally produce. And you haven't seen the full repercussions of that because this year's harvest goes into next year's goods. So we're still using the goods up from last year, and now we're going to see during the coming year increasing shortages of things, and with that higher prices. And that's going to be a big problem. So I have some basic steps that I think you should do, and I'm going to refer you to some other videos I've done in the past that you can find on YouTube and Brighteon if you want more details on these right now. But I would say that whoever you are right now, you should start trying to stock up at least a month's supply of food. The way you do this is You look for what's on sale. And you buy, and it needs to be something that you eat. I have stored things that my current family doesn't really eat. And so I've had to shift some of my storage to other things so you can rotate it, because what you want to do is be able to rotate whatever you're buying. So I always have several jars of mayonnaise, a number of containers of oil, a number of containers of all of your basic supplies, that I'm rotating through, like, okay, cans of tuna fish or whatnot. And when you put it on the shelf, you put the new stuff to the back, put the old stuff to the front, so that you're using it and going through it and rotating it. And I look for when things are on sale and I buy a large quantity of it, and then I try to rotate it. And that way you always have a supply of food in your house. The average American doesn't have that. And that, of course, seems very strange to me because I've been doing it for so long and it's such a way of life for me. But it's very, very important. If, as we talk about later, we have some major problems and they have to temporarily declare martial law or something like that, and you're going to have to be stuck in your home for a while, you want to have a supply of food so that you can weather whatever the temporary storm is. Now, that's also good if you're hit with a natural disaster, a hurricane or something else, that you have some food on hand to keep you through that particular thing. At this point, I don't know, a lot of people wouldn't be able to just afford to go out and buy a year's supply of food, but I can tell you that when you're thinking about survival food for a year, do not think about the canned goods and other things that you normally eat. Think about bulk grains, bulk legumes, that you can buy, like wheat. Wheat will last virtually forever. So if you get some wheat in sealed buckets or containers, I know there's the whole issue of gluten, but you could sprout it. That's survival food. The rest of it is just emergency supplies that I'm saying a month, but if you can't do a month, do 2 weeks. It's just going to really help you. And stock up on some other supplies that you need too. You remember that with the COVID thing, there was a run on toilet paper. I always try to rotate through toilet paper, paper towels, boxes of tissues, all these kinds of staple things. I always have a tube of toothpaste I'm using, a tube of toothpaste that I've bought. As soon as the tube of toothpaste I'm using starts to run out, I buy another one. So I always have a couple of tubes of toothpaste. All that stuff. So I always try to keep a stock of basic things on hand so that if there was a temporary disruption in services and so forth, I would have things I need. Because I'm doing this not so much because I'm concerned about myself, but I'm concerned about the fact that I don't want to be a person who's scrounging to find things. I want to be the person that's helping people. And I need to be in a position where I have the means to do so. And also, think about some supplies that you could barter with neighbors. Like, and specifically, I'm thinking about things like sugar. I don't eat refined sugar, but I have refined sugar, because people are going to need sugar, and sugar is something that, you could trade with them for something else. Coffee is another one, stuff like that. I don't store cigarettes because I don't do that, and there aren't that many people where I live who smoke, but any things like that that people are addicted to that they're going to need. It's like, I got to get my nose, sorry. And that's really useful to be able to barter. Now, one of the things I'm going to stress about why I'm specifically doing this webinar and this webinar series is because if you're an herbalist and you know how to identify and use plants that grow in your area, you have an immediate bartering skill. for emergencies. And so, if that's not the case, you should think about what skills you do have that you could help other people, and maybe get them to help you. Because one of the things that I think is really important is you will never survive any kind of major calamity on your own. This is not an individual thing. This is something that you have to pull together with neighbors and community and other people. Because that's why I went to Sam Kaufman's survival school down in Texas, is because he was teaching about teamwork, about working together in a survival situation. And I think that's something that's very, very important, is to be prepared to find to work with your neighbors and help other people and not just think of yourself. Now, let's talk about the second thing. And I want to talk a little bit about the whole idea of this again is not this is not a prediction as in a prophetic warning. This is already happening. What we are in right now, we're in this, and it's going headlong into these problems. And at this point, I don't see any way that to reverse it. In my book, Let Freedom Ring, I talk about economics because I find that the average person does not understand money. People have been duped into thinking that money solves problems, that if you throw money at something, it will fix it. So all we need is money, and then we can get whatever we need. Well, that works if you have goods and services to buy. That works if people are productive. That works if people have things to sell, skills and products. Money is worthless if the skills and products aren't there to buy something with. So I want you to imagine a balance scale, an old-fashioned balance scale that tips like this. On one side is all the goods and services that people are producing. On the other side is all the money supply. So the money only has value to purchase, to exchange for the goods and services. People have this illusion they want money, but what they want is the ability to get the goods and services money buys. So what happens is, if you increase the amount of money in circulation, so I add, I don't remember which hand I did, but let's, okay, here's the goods and services, here's the money. So if I increase the amount of money, then what happens is the scale starts tipping in order to balance out, and the price of goods and services goes up because there is more money to bid for those goods and services. So the cause of inflation is very, very simple. It is, and it's like people are duped. They don't understand this. You increase the money supply, you borrow, loan, create more money that you, more debt that you put into circulation, you create inflation. It's that simple. And we're doing this like crazy. And that it, there's a delay between when the money is introduced and starts flowing into circulation, and then it starts increasing the price of goods and services. And this is a way that it something that is really evil because it particularly hurts people in lower incomes. People on Social Security, people on welfare, people who are low income people. It really hurts. They're the ones who get hurt. Because why? Because the money always, when you give money to people, it flows to the people who are selling the goods and services. So the money always winds up with them. They have plenty of money to buy things with. The other people can buy less and less with the money they have. It's a very evil thing. And so as prices continue to escalate, it's going to put strains on people on fixed budgets and limited incomes and so forth. And what's going to add to that is, as you have shortages of things, like if wheat is in short supply, and wheat goes into so many different products, bread, pasta, on and on, and also corn does, and corn supply is down because this is due to drought and other problems with getting fertilizer because the war has disrupted worldwide fertilizer trade. Then, of course, the people bid up the price of what goods and services are left. In other words, when goods and services are in short supply, the people with the most money can bid the most to buy them first. And price controls, you know, people think, oh, we just control the price. Well, that doesn't work either because it you still have a shortage. And so what that means is you get like you have in certain countries where they've had these kinds of problems. Like my wife has told me a lot about being in Ukraine when it was under Soviet Russia. They all had money, but there was nothing they could buy with it. You know, the shelves were empty. What good does it have money if the goods and services aren't being produced? And if the person who's selling goods and services has increased costs and they can't afford to produce things, then you get into trouble. This happened in Argentina. This has happened everywhere. And it's just a fact that all currencies that are not based on something real like gold and silver, eventually go into hyperinflation and collapse, which means there's so much money in distribution that it is worthless and people won't take it anymore and so forth. We are running headlong into this problem. And the only way that they are going to solve it is by introducing some kind of new currency or new economic system, which is probably the goal of all this. And we won't get into talking about that. But in the short run, as they're redoing this, this will happen. And my wife told me that this happened in Ukraine after the collapse of the Soviet Union. She and her husband had money in the bank. They woke up one day and it was gone. Everything they had was wiped out. And for a couple of years, they had to struggle. She says, remember, she'd get one egg and she had to like, she was going to use it to make a cake or something like that. And nobody else could eat it. I mean, that kind of thing. We're not used to that in America. We're not used to having to scrimp and save. We're used to being able to go buy whatever we want. I'm used to being able to buy whatever we want. And that's why we'll get into the third thing that is a big concern, which is the social unrest because of that. Now, what can we do about this? Well, first of all, I would suggest that you get some cash out of the bank and have some cash on hand so that if the system shuts down, you know, like if suddenly there's a huge economic turmoil and the banks close for a couple of weeks while everything gets reset, you have some cash, so you can at least give some cash to get some things that you need. And again, I think it's good to have some skills or items you can barter with other people with. That's one place where I feel really comfortable because I think I have a lot of skills that I can use to barter with other people. And if you have money in savings, it's a good idea to put at least some of it. And again, this is why I say I'm not an economic advisor. You need to pray about this. But put it into something tangible, you know, a piece of property, food storage, you know, or gold and silver, which have historically been something that helps hold value in hyperinflation. Now, I personally bought some silver. And the reason why I bought silver is because I did quite a bit of research and I found out that silver is very the price of silver has been artificially manipulated downward, and that silver this price of silver therefore is depressed, and so it's a pretty good investment. If the ratio of the worth of gold to the worth of silver, the traditional ratio of how much gold is worth in comparison to silver was being upheld, silver would probably be at least $35 to $40 an ounce. It's about 20, about half that. And that's just historical. But there's another reason why silver is a good buy. It's less expensive than gold, so ordinary people can afford to get a little bit off it. And if you've got a gold coin and gold suddenly goes to $3,000 an ounce, how do you break up a gold coin? Whereas if you've got some silver coins, and it's easier to barter with them. And silver is also used as an industrial metal and in high demand. The whole Green New Deal is hugely dependent on silver, because all solar panels need silver, all electronics need silver. So, electric cars, all that kind of stuff that they're pushing for, all requires silver. It takes, I remember hearing something like 30 pounds of silver to make one of these intercontinental ballistic missiles. It takes pounds of silver to make a Boeing 747 aircraft. You have to have silver for electronics because of its conductivity. So when silver starts getting short supply, it will skyrocket. Plus, it's a little bit of hedge against inflation. So I took most of what I have in savings and I put it in silver just to hold against inflation. Now, let's talk about the social unrest aspect of that. Ordinary people who would never think of stealing or doing some things can if you are hungry, you can really become desperate. So if you're having trouble getting food because you're low income, because food is short, a lot of people are going to really, really start to lose it. And this is something that really, really deeply concerns me. This is why you might wind up with a short period of time with martial law being declared. Just get my train of thought here. So you see that, okay, when in my parents' day, okay, my parents grew up during the Great Depression. And at that time, more people had a stronger moral sense than they do now. And therefore, you're going to see more people who are willing to turn to, criminal activity in order to try to get something to take care of themselves or their family. I remember, and just as an example of how crazy this is, I remember seeing this video of a woman when the debit cards they use for food stamps now, they call them food stamps, but it's really just a debit card you give that you swipe like a credit card. And it didn't work because there was a temporary disruption of that system. And this woman was so angry, she started running along the store and just with her arm and just sweeping stuff off of the shelves and knocking it on the floor, throwing a temper tantrum. So if there is an economic crisis and all that shuts down temporarily, and people can't use their food stamp cards and they can't use their debit cards and they can't, and the whole system's kind of frozen for a temporary period of time for 2 to 3 weeks, it could get really crazy. So you need to think about this too. It's one of the reasons why I prefer to live in a smaller city where I think people have higher moral values, where there are more religious people. Yeah, but that's not possible for everybody. I mean, people can't move. You are where you are. But you should think about if this happens. And this is why I say if you have some food or whatever that you can, be in your house and not have to go out too much for a period of time, that may be very helpful. Or the other possibility is you might need to have a bug out bag because you might need to get out of Dodge. So the two things I would recommend here is, again, be prepared to have some water, food, and supplies that would at least last for a couple of weeks, and have what's called a bug out bag, which is some supplies that you could, a little bit of food, a blanket, a little bit of water, some other things in a backpack that you could just quickly grab and get out of town and go someplace where it's less crazy. That's a very good thing. Even though I don't particularly think I'll need them, I have bug out bags. I have them in my car because I figured the most likely thing was is if I was away from my home when something happened. I have a little backpack with a blanket and some matches and things, start fire, a few first aid supplies, a little bit of water, a little bit of food. So at least I can try to find a way to make it back to the house. There's a little bit of money in there, a little bit of cash too. So that's a good, another good thing to be prepared. Now, remember that what will you do in the lights go out? I really seriously want you to think about that question the way I have. Because what if for a period of not just a couple of days, but a period of a couple of weeks or a couple of months, there was a disruption with the power system and you didn't have electricity? I want you to think about what the implications of that are, because I've thought about it for years. And it isn't just the medical thing I was shown, it's also the whole thing of like electricity pumps water, which means that the water can go out too at the same time, which means you have no flush toilet, you have no water coming out of your tap for cooking and drinking. You don't have electricity to for run air conditioning or heating. You don't have a refrigerator, you don't have a freezer. There's a lot of things that could be problematic if the power goes out. And short term, you just need to be prepared for the kinds of things that have are just happened in Florida and have happened elsewhere, where the power goes out for a couple of weeks before it can be restored. What do you do to help you get through that time? For a longer term thought process, if we did have a nuclear confrontation, one of the things that we need to be really concerned about is what's called an EMP pulse, which is that you explode a nuclear bomb above, high in the atmosphere, and it doesn't like, incinerate things, but it sends out an electromagnetic pulse that fries every computer chip within a few hundred miles or more. In fact, I've read that 90% of all the electronic equipment in North America could be wiped out with three or four nuclear weapons exploded high up in the atmosphere. So what would happen if you had no cell phone? Well, your car runs on a computer chip. You don't have. I know this is not pleasant stuff to think about, but I got to tell you, I've been it's in the back of my mind for my entire adult life. Okay, your computer doesn't work. The internet doesn't work. Your car doesn't run. Nothing that is on electronics will run, unless, of course, you have something shielded. But even if it's shielded, what happens if the power grid itself is knocked out? How long would it take to restore the power grid? So it's a real problem. And if you didn't have water, what are you going to do? What are you going to do if the toilet doesn't work? Okay, you can't flush the toilet. How do you dispose of waste? These are things that you should consider. Don't take for granted that our technological thing that holds our society together, don't just assume it'll always be there. At least think about the fact of what you would do if it wasn't, and maybe what you could do to kind of help yourself adjust. A lot of what we're talking about before, if we had a major problem like this, a lot of the rest would give you time to work on creating workaround solutions, getting together with neighbors, blah, 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 because you'd have some supplies to work from while you were doing that. So I suggest you have some emergency supplies for lighting and heat. I have a old-fashioned oil lamp, that has the wick, and I have several bottles of that for lighting. I have a little stove. It's about this high and this big around that you can shove little pieces of wood in, and it creates a flame that's really hot here that you could cook on. And I also have this is an interesting one. I have a lid that's like a toilet seat that goes on top of a 5 gallon bucket, which you can get at places like Home Depot for $3 or $4, that you could use for a toilet. And all you need is either some dirt or better yet, some kitty litter, bag of kitty litter. And what you do is you go to the bathroom in the bucket and you put the dirt or the kitty litter on top of the waste. And then when it finally fills up, you got to find a place to safely bury it. But think about this, you really should also have some water stored. I know I don't have near enough water, but I do have some 5 gallon containers of water in the garage, so that if the water was disrupted, at least there would be some water to drink or cook with. I put it in there and I add silver to it to disinfect it and keep it from going bad. I just changed it when we moved. I didn't want to move full buckets of water, and I filled them up like 5 or 6 or 7 years earlier. So I dumped them out, rinsed them out, and filled them with fresh water and new silver. So they're ready to go, and you should, change the water periodically like that. Now, let's just back off from that really bad scenario, but let's talk about the medical system. I've been a big student of the principles of moral government, of the things that our country was founded on, with the founding fathers who are being horribly vilified right now. And I've just been listening to a book about Thomas Jefferson, and by a noted historian who goes in and basically shows that a lot of things that I've been told about Thomas Jefferson are not true. That if you they're taken out of context, they're pulled out of thing. They're trying to twist Thomas Jefferson to be something he was not, including the fact that that all the latest evidence points to the fact that he did not have children with one of his black slaves. That there's no actual evidence of that, and in fact, there's evidence that it did not happen. That those children were probably the children of one of his cousins. But anyway, but what was interesting to me when COVID came around, I've had this interest in health, but I suddenly understood why the health issue was so important. Because people's fear of disease, because I've watched for years as the media and movies have pumped up this artificial fear of disease. You have all these apocalyptic movies where a virus gets released and everybody starts dying and there's nothing they can do about it. And this is programming. It's programming. It's science fiction. It's not really the way things really work. And they always go back to the Spanish flu, which I think had more to do with other factors than just a disease. The war and the possible fact that they were introducing all kinds of experimental vaccines at that time too. But the point being is, because people are so afraid of this, they use the powers that be use fear to control people. That I figured out over almost 30 years ago, that fear is used as a weapon to control people. That's why the news is constantly pumping you with fear. So what they do is because they can make people afraid, they can cause people to do things that they would not otherwise ordinarily submit to. So it's like we're being set up. And so much, I did a radio interview today, a podcast interview today. And one of the things that he asked me about was what I thought about the COVID thing. And I said, I thought that everything they did as a response to it was all stuff that would bring your immune system down, weaken your immune system, and stuff that you could talk about that would build up your immune system got deleted on social media. So it's like that was really an eye opener to me. And so that tells me that this whole health thing is going to be a pivotal thing in them doing stuff to try to bring us down. And we need to be prepared to work around that so that we're not afraid of diseases, because we understand how to stay healthy and how to treat ourselves and what we can use locally and all that sort of thing. And I also want to talk about the COVID-19 vaccines, which are not vaccines, which they redefined what vaccine is in order to sell them as vaccines. They're an experimental gene therapy. And there's a problem that the death rate, there's a normal death rate they use in insurance companies. They figure a certain percentage of people in each age group will die in a given year. And across all age groups, that is double. And it appears a lot to be due to side effects of the COVID vaccines. So I think we're going to be facing some major health crises that are going to be part of this mix. And I want people to be prepared. I don't know what all the answers for this are, but I do believe that going back to my original spiritual experience, there are remedies naturally growing upon the face of the earth, that using those coupled with faith in God, we can meet some of these challenges and help people in the face of these things that are going to happen. And I would like to see people be prepared. And one of the things I really, really would encourage you to do is be cautious in your use of modern medicine. In the interview I did today, I said, you know, the major problem I have is modern medicine is aimed at symptomatic treatment and symptomatic relief. They're not aimed at trying to figure out the underlying cause and work with it. And if you're dependent on symptomatic relief, like high blood pressure medication and diabetic medication and all that kind of stuff, if there's suddenly a disruption of the supply chain, since most of these drugs are coming from China, the pharmaceuticals are being manufactured mostly in China. So there's sudden something that disrupts that, then you've got a problem. And if you've become dependent on high blood pressure medication and you can't get it, there's going to be a rebound effect. And so I would suggest you start finding ways to use natural remedies instead, wherever possible. Learn to use natural remedies instead of relying on drugs and vaccines and all these things. And a lot of I've been teaching commercial herbalism for years, teaching people to use commercial herb supplements. But with supply chain disruptions and economic problems, the same thing that's happening with food can happen with our herbs that we're using. So we're going to see shortages of certain herbs. And so products that we may be used to using will go on back order. They'll be temporarily unavailable. There'll be problems. Their price will go up, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that if you haven't done this, it is really time to get serious about learning local plants, things that are growing in your neighborhood and immediate area that you can use for both food and for medicine. And of course, what I'm doing tonight, the webinar is not long enough or whatever to get into all of that. But I mean, there are plenty of field guides. There's plenty of classes. There's plenty of things you can do. And so not only get yourself educated, but try to educate other people, because again, it's a team effort. If we have people that we can work with, it's going to be a lot easier to, be able to help people. So obviously tonight, the major focus was to say, okay, these are the things that I see that are ahead. I don't think that a permanent disruption of the power grid is imminent. I don't think that a permanent collapse of our society is imminent. But I do think we're going to go through a really rough period with shortages, economic disruptions, and a lot of social unrest, and we need to be prepared for that. I think, based on my understanding of prophecy and what I get when I pray about it, I think that this time it will be temporary, and we're going to have some deliverance, and there'll be some good things happen, but it will start after that to go downhill again. So, you know, for the long term, I still think you should think about being more prepared for a bigger thing. But for the short term, you should be prepared for this stuff that I've been talking about, of 2 to 4 weeks of food, a little bit of water, bug out bag, things like that. So now I want to point you to some free resources you can use to get more information. So if you download the handouts that I uploaded with this video, these are links. You can click on it and it will take you to the link. On Brighteon, I have a channel. On YouTube, I have a channel. And I have on both of those channels some previous webinars I've done on emergency preparedness. There are some stuff on food storage. There's some stuff on herbal medicine. There's some stuff on helping people emotionally in a disaster and so forth. So you can get some more education by going to these resources and getting some additional training. In addition, I would highly recommend, and I am not going to apologize for plugging my stuff, because I really seriously think that what I have is going to be helpful for people. My new book, Strategies for Health, which is available at both Barnes & Noble and Amazon, is a very comprehensive guide to natural healing. It lists numerous single herbs and so forth in that book, and strategies for working with people with illnesses. I highly recommend that book have in your library as a guide to help people in the times ahead, and also to just to help people now. And if you want to be able to prepare herbal medicines from locally gathered herbs, I recommend the book I co-authored with Thomas Easley, Modern Herbal Dispensatory, which is a medicine making guide that teaches you how to make tinctures, glycerides, syrups, poultices, salves, et cetera. Now, this webinar I did is a preview to a series I've decided to do for my member program at stephenhorn.com. The next three I have planned in the member program, I do a theme every month on health. The next one is on PMS. The one after that is on loss of desire and sexual dysfunction. So I pick a theme every month, and we have a Sunshine Sharing newsletter, and we have a webinar on that topic. But I'm going to be doing a preparedness webinar. And the first one I'm going to do in this series is going to be about sanitation and local remedies for fighting infection, things that you can gather that may be growing near you or readily attainable. The next one is going to be about my thoughts on what to do to help people who run out of medications that they're stabilizing their health, like high blood pressure medications and so forth, and what you can do to be prepared to help people. And the one after that is going to be on remedies for injuries and pain. And I'm going to really, in all of this, focus on trying to point out plants that grow not just out in the wild, but in urban areas, as weeds in people's gardens, as weeds on the sidewalks, as landscape plants, and et cetera, to try to get that. The member program is $19 a month, $19.95 a month. You can sign up at stephenhorn.com, or you can call that toll-free number to sign up and get that training. And in addition, I have an additional series of Be Prepared webinars that are in the member program from the past that you can get into and watch those too. And also, I am putting together an advanced herbal mentorship for Know Your Wellness in Idaho, which is an 11-month program going into great depth about herbs, including a big section on field botany. And so if you're interested in that kind of training, you can go there. And with that, so those are some resources to go get more information. to be prepared. So let's go to the question and answer period. And so feel free, there's a question box that you can type in your questions. I will try to answer as many questions as I can. And somebody pointed out, I've started saving seeds for my garden. I have ordered seeds that you can save and then you can gather, and then I guess you mean you can gather and save them. Right now I save my pink eye purple hull beans, Boston prickling cucumber, and Texas longhorn okra. Yeah, if you have a garden, I would suggest you order heirloom seeds, because heirloom seeds will grow true to seed, and you could collect the seeds from your plants and plant them next year. Definitely, I think it's great to have a garden. I don't really have a good garden where I'm at right now, but I'm hoping to make some raised beds and have a better one. Had one thing to protect against mold, parasites, fungus, etc. on hand, what would it be? Well, see, that's difficult to say. I am going to talk about some of these things in the webinar, but if you want to have some supplies to be prepared, silver would be a good one. The like the Nature Sunshine Silver Shield or something equivalent. That's a nanoparticle of silver. That's a good one to have on hand. Also, I would recommend echinacea and an herb called wild indigo or Baptista, which I've used the combination of those two to fight some pretty serious bacterial infections. As for the fungal stuff, I don't know. Garlic, oregano, tea tree oil, that sort of thing. I definitely think you should have some essential oils that are antimicrobial. And this is in emergency preparedness supplies. Some of the local remedies that I'm going to talk about in the first webinar include Thuya, or the Oriental Arborvita, and the Western Red and the Eastern White cedar trees, pine trees, and things from the grocery store like garlic, and also your artemisias. And I'm going to just try to get things that you might be able to find growing in your neighborhood, because some of these things, you know, barberry, which is grown as an ornamental plant in a lot of different places, both barberry and Oregon grape. So I'm going to, focus on these things that you're probably growing as landscape plants somewhere that you could gather to have help fight infection. This video is going to be available on said YouTube and said Brighteon channel. I don't know if I've never had a video pulled from YouTube yet. I'm a little nervous about posting this one because it mentions COVID, and that can be a red flag. So I'm considering maybe not posting it on YouTube and only posting on Brighteon, and I have a Rumble channel too. Also, there's an email that is sent by the GoToWebinar to everyone that has a link to the replay. So you'll be able to watch the replay, and also it will be uploaded on my website. And hopefully I'll make it available for everybody to be able to watch on the website as well. I don't have an idea of how long we'll see rough times. I think that definitely the next year or two is going to have some, it's just not going to be normal. I mean, it's like, how COVID made everything not normal. I think we're going to have things not be normal for at least a year or two. I think that if the money system collapses, which it very well might at some point during this time, there'll be a reset. What they'll do is they'll switch everything over to a new monetary system, but everything will have to shut down for a period of two or 3 weeks while they do it and while they get things sorted out. And so that's why I say, think in terms of at least having cash supplies and everything for a month to weather that kind of storm and have some assets that are not held in the bank that you can use to work with other people. I really think that's going to be important. I'm definitely doing it. I'm hesitant to say what I see because, like I said, I'm not a prophetic individual. I get impressions about the big things that are going to happen. I don't get dates. I don't get timelines. I could tell you a whole bunch of things that I think are going to happen, but I don't know when. But the reason why I did this is because the things I'm talking about are like right on the horizon. We are sliding towards them in a way that it's going to be unavoidable. These things are going to happen. I mean, this is not what I'm saying is the stuff I talked about tonight is not a maybe. It is we are headed there. That's, you know, everything I understand, everything I'm reading, everything I'm looking at, it's undeniable that we're going to have problems. I did agree with one news thing I saw on the food shortages that that's less likely to affect us here in America. Probably nobody's going to starve to death in America, but there are going to be people who are starving to death in third world countries because the Western nations will buy up the food and the poorer nations won't have it. And even though it might be expensive and in short supply, I'm pretty sure there'll be enough food that nobody's going to starve. But the fact that people are hungry and the fact that people are not used to being able to live the lifestyle they're used to, this is what concerns me the most. That there are so many people who have grown up never knowing hard times, not with a good moral compass, that, you know, when they start to face difficulties for the first time in their life, they're going to go crazy. They're not going to know how to handle themselves. And that's a big concern to me. And I think that we should be prepared to try to deal with this. This is being recorded, yes. I don't have good info on long COVID. I think that you just have to, with everything, look at what you need to do to fortify your immune system and help your body fight this stuff. I do think that the same kinds of things that help boost your immune system to prevent viral disorders, like vitamin D3, zinc, quercetin to help you absorb the zinc, vitamin A, vitamin C, stuff like that is all helpful. And I think there are also herbs that can be helpful. I haven't had enough people that I've worked with who said they had long COVID to have really good suggestions at this point. I'm just trying to gather information from people who are working with it. And the same thing with people who are having problems with vaccines. They probably need stuff to keep their blood thin, like vitamin E, and natural blood thinners like nattokinase, because that stuff does tend to form clots. And I'm going to do some more research and try to do some more webinars on that stuff later on. So again, it is recorded. It is good to have 1 gallon of water per person per day. So I would suggest you have at least a week's supply of water, maybe a 2 week supply of water. So 14 gallons per person. That's a 7 to 14 gallons per person. That's a good amount to have. You can buy some containers that do that. What I did originally is I, you know, would buy the juice and stuff in glass bottles, and I would wash them out when they were done, and I'd put water in them and a little silver and store them. And then later I bought some 5 gallon containers because it was a little more convenient than the glass bottles I was storing in my pantry. But that's the way. The best way to use essential oils is topically. I don't want to get into, you know, the whole thing of how to use oils safely internally, but that is covered in my book, Strategies for Health. I have a few close people that have been on dialysis several times a week. Today I was thinking, how can we help these people out with this issue if there's an emergency? Where can we, when we can't go to the hospital and be treated and they have to stay home? Kidney formulas and activated charcoal. That's a very good thing of what I'm talking about. I would say that you, if a person has that kind of kidney failure, the best remedy I know is nettle seed. They should go on a very low protein diet. They should also be on low minerals other than potassium, and some nourishing herbal diuretics, like maybe dandelion leaf or stuff like that. You can put them in baths and sweat them to help clean out their system. You can use charcoal poultices over their kidneys. And I need to talk about the whole psychological aspect of this, of helping people believe that they're not going to die. That which is something I want to do on that webinar. I'm going to have it in a couple of months. Someone said for the fungal, ginger, garlic, turmeric, tea tree oil, oregano. Yep, say that's a good thing. I added a tablespoon. Yeah, added a tablespoon of silver to my 5 gallon buckets of water. My 1 gallon containers, I added a teaspoon, two of them. I again haven't. I wonder, like for me, I've twice gotten sick when being around for an extended period of time people who've been vaccinated. So the problem of shedding that someone just asked about is something that I'm really wondering if that's not a real problem a lot of people are having. I'm taking garlic and a horehound cough syrup and elderberry, as well as the typical vitamins. That seems to be helping me recover. In fact, I'm just saying, I was just with last weekend some people who've been vaccinated, and I started to get sick last night or yesterday. So it was interesting. Someone says they got a start of multiplying onions. I think you're talking about Egyptian walking onions and garlic, and the fact that they've kept those going for many years, and which is great. I mean, it's very easy to grow Egyptian walking onions and garlic in your garden because you can easily propagate them, keep them going for a long period of time, and those are two really good onions and garlic are two really good remedies for respiratory problems. Let's see. Herbs help with a nuclear situation. A lot of antioxidants, but at this point, another thing that would be good, if you're concerned about the nuclear thing, the first and most important thing you need is iodine. Get Lugol solution or iodorol in tablet form, and you want to take a very high amount of iodine. I don't remember off the top of my head the amount, but personally, if that happened with me, I would probably be taking 4 iodorol a day if there was any nuclear thing anywhere near me, which is 100 milligrams of iodine. And I would also probably, for me, one of the local herbs here that I think would be very helpful for that is chaparral, which grows in the area where I live. Other than that, I'd have to think about it. Okay. Who do I listen to prophetically? Okay. Well, I kind of tune in to Kim Clement. I've been fascinated with Kim Clement's prophecies, and he seems to be quite accurate. And his prophecies are the ones that give me hope that there's a short-term, at least, period of revival and renewal that will happen. That will, in other words, because enough people will be disturbed by what's about to happen, there's repentance, and people can have some deliverance, and we can have another period of prosperity and so forth for at least for a short period of time. Longer term, I you know, some of the things that are not so understandable. In the 1980s, I ran into the prophecies of Dmitri Dudeman, and the person who carries on his prophecies is a guy who runs a has a YouTube channel. It's also on Brighteon called Prophecy Club, and he talks a lot about some of the prophetic things happen. I also have had some personal things about biblical prophecy, which are actually online at the both on Brighteon and on YouTube. And who else? I don't know. I listen to a variety of voices and kind of just weigh them. But those are some of the main things I look to. Communism, I don't think we're going to become communists soon. How soon? I don't know. That's the point. I don't want to make time predictions because I don't know. I would just be randomly guessing. But I do believe that we're going to see increasing problems over the next few months. Okay? And that's why I think right now, you're going to do this, get prepared now. Don't wait, start this week and so forth. And I can't answer the question of like how much time we have or any of those kind of things. I don't know. I don't have insight to that information. As for the possibility of a recession, a recession occurs when there's a contraction of the money supply. So, in a recession, the price of goods and things goes down. That's not as bad as it sounds, but I think we're headed for hyperinflation, not a recession. I mean, there's a recession in the sense that hyperinflation is going to disrupt the economy, yes, and goods and services and so forth. Okay, let's see. I think the biggest thing we need to do is to protect ourselves from what's going on with COVID, long COVID, vaccines, et cetera, is just to try to keep a healthy immune system. Just keep your immune system in health and have faith. Have faith. I have faith. I don't believe, I literally don't believe that. I believe God will protect me and help me. And if I get sick, God can show me how to get well. I actually believe on a deeper level that whatever problems come my way in my life, God can help me see me through them. That doesn't necessarily mean that I'm not going to die because I'm going to die eventually or there'll be difficulty, but God can help me cope with whatever happens. I have a firm belief in that. I've seen that happen through my whole life. And actually, one of the videos I have up is about listening to the still small voice and developing a relationship with God, which I think is the most important thing that you need to do to be prepared. A gallon of water a day is the minimum you need. You can use small amounts for personal hygiene. You need to be able to drink some of it, but that's just like a survival amount of water. If you want water for other things, you've got to store a whole lot more than that. And I don't think most people can store that much. A teaspoon per gallon, a tablespoon for 5 gallons is what I use. Someone said that a pine needle tea or 1 drop pine essential oil helps prevent shedding. If someone can't breathe when they lie down, I would suggest a small amount of lobelia to relax the bronchioles. And other than that, I would have to know more information to be able to make good recommendations. I don't know what to do about someone who's taken remdesivir. Yeah, someone said God has so much mercy on us when things happen, but we have to seek Him, and that's true. One of the things I'm always afraid of in doing these kind of webinars is I don't want to be a fear monger. I don't live in fear. To me, I do two things, okay? One is I prepare knowing that bad things happen. So I don't, but I, you know, I don't trust just in my preparedness. What I trust more in is in my relationship with God. And I pray a lot. And I say, okay, you know, Father, I see this happening. What should I do to be prepared? What should I do to be able? And it's more than just asking what to do for me to be prepared. It's like, what do I need to do to be prepared to help other people, to be able to prepare not only help my family, but neighbors and other people. So one of the things I just recently did, because I felt moved to do so, was I decided, oh, I want to teach some medicine making classes. So I stocked up on some bulk herbs, and I also have alcohol and glycerin and stuff to make stuff with. But that also is a supply of stuff that allows me to make herbal medicines if I need to. Now I know how to do that. I mean, obviously I produced a book, you know, worked with Tom Seasley to produce a book on that. So I know a lot about that. So that wouldn't be a solution for everybody, but you know, teaching some local medicine making classes and using that as an excuse to buy these herbs to have in stock has been something I've done. But you have to kind of be open. You know, like I've, you know, seeing some of the reports and looking at what's happening, I've been deeply concerned about the food shortages and everything. But when I prayed about it, God says, you have enough food in storage. Don't worry about it. Okay. So I haven't, you know, in a panic, run out and bought more. And there are other things I've prayed about, like, do I need a water filter? Do I need this? Do I need that? Should I get an EMP device to protect my circuitry? I pray about these things. I don't just run out and do them because, you know, of fear and warning. I pray about them and ask God to help me decide what are appropriate things I should do to prepare. And some of these things, God says, no, you don't need that. Don't. If that is where you live and what's going to be happening in your area, it's not necessary. Maybe in other areas, yes. Now, if you have the filter pitchers and straws and everything, those are helpful, but they're not going to get rid of microbes. You can, you know, purify what we'll talk about. I'll talk about this in the first of these Be Herbally Prepared webinars, but you need to be prepared to purify water, have some silver to put in it or something to disinfect it, boil it, whatever. The filters will take out chlorine and some other things in them, but they're going to clog up really fast if the water is muddy. And so, again, you can watch some of the other videos I've done because I've addressed this issue of water in some of the other videos, and I'm going to address it more in the one coming up. So just go ahead and check out some of those resources on Brighteon or YouTube about emergency preparedness and learn a little bit more about water purification and so forth. Someone made a comment on my expression of faith. Thank you. I don't know if the vaccines or boosters would cause people to commit suicide. I don't know about the Radix filters. I know I've heard good things about the Berkey filters. You know, I think reverse osmosis is a really good way to purify water, but it takes water pressure in order to work. Again, the thing I want to leave you with the most is this, okay? You really, really, really need to be prayerful about this. If you do not have a relationship with God, if you have not really surrendered your life to God and said, I'm willing to do what you want me to do, I don't like to put religion too much on people, but for me, I surrendered my life to God and asked to be washed clean through the blood of Jesus. Had a very deep spiritual experience when I was 21, and that's when I really started to hear the voice of the Spirit and started to get guidance. And I think that you need to really seriously get right with God okay, and be able to listen to the still small voice of the Spirit, because I believe that that is the biggest key to this whole thing, is being able to get guidance, to pray and get help. Because honestly, if I didn't have that faith and I didn't have that kind of experiences in my life where God has helped me through many, many difficult challenging experiences, I right now would probably be really, really deeply alarmed and fearful. Because, you know, from my whole pragmatic sense, everything looks really, really bad. But I don't feel that way, because I have peace in my heart, because I trust in God. And I think that is the key. If you don't have that peace in your heart, I don't want you to run out and go panic and everything. I want you to get right with God, because the deliverance is going to come from God. It's not going to come from who we elect as president. It's not going to come from, you know, us going out and physically solving the problems in the world. It's going to come because we pray and we trust our Father, that He loves us, that He wants to help us. And if there are enough people who are praying and asking God to help us through all this, God will help us. It's just the way it works. And one of the things I hope is that more people will start praying like I do, praying for our country, praying for God to intervene and help turn some of this stuff around, help us get righteous leaders in government, to inspire the leaders that we have to do the right thing. Our prayers are very potent weapons of spiritual warfare to combat what's going on. And you don't do that through fear. You do that through faith, through believing that God loves you, He cares about you, He wants you to be safe, He wants to protect you, and that He will help you if you trust in Him. But here's the problem you have. And I explained this to my stepsons the other day when we were driving back from California. You know, we all have the voice of God that speaks to us inside. And I this is universal. It doesn't matter what religion you belong to. God put a conscience in you that allows you to differentiate. You know, you have a sense of right and wrong. The more you listen to your conscience, the stronger the voice of God will come through. If you don't listen to your conscience, if you violate your conscience, if you're doing things that you know are wrong, and you're not repenting and asking God to forgive you, to have mercy on you, to help you overcome those problems, if you continue to just constantly violate your conscience, you start to sear it. And if you sear your conscience, you can't hear the voice of God anymore. You can't get direction. You don't know inside what's right and wrong. And I think that's a very dangerous position to be in. So, you know, and I think that people who are in that position, they're the ones that will create a lot of chaos and crime and other things, because they say, because they don't have that voice of their conscience, basically. And I believe a simple thing: God wins. In the end, God wins. In the end, righteousness wins. In the end, goodness wins. And that we can have victory through faith in God. I believe very firmly when Jesus says, "Ask and you shall receive; seek and you shall find; knock and it shall be opened unto you." I believe very firmly, you know, what says that if any of you have a child and they ask for bread, you don't give them a serpent. You don't. God gives good gifts to those who ask Him and those who believe in Him. I also believe very strongly in what Jesus said: all things are possible to him that believes. So how do you believe? Well, you believe by putting your trust in God, not in the things of this world. And if you put your trust in God and you build your life on a foundation of trust in God, you're built upon the rock, as Jesus said. And when the difficulties come, they won't sweep you away. You'll be able to stand firm. You'll be able to prevail. Okay? But if you don't, if you put your trust in your money, if you put your trust in your own wisdom, if you put your trust in your emergency preparedness supplies or whatever you're putting your trust in that's physical, it has the potential to fail you. Because I've said this to my wife, you know, she's sometimes been critical of my emergency preparedness stuff because she's like, you know, and I go, but you got to understand, I prepare this stuff not because I trust that that's what's going to save me. I don't. Ultimately, you can't prepare for everything that could possibly go wrong. The only way you can be prepared is to be in a position where when the time comes, you can get the guidance you need to know what to do and how and the right place to be and the right things to do. Yeah, I did say that. Well, I don't know if every batch of it does this, but one of the effects of the spike proteins and the vaccines actually contain RNA that makes your body manufacture spike proteins is they cause blood agglutination, which makes the blood thicker, which makes it harder to pump through your body, which is one of the reasons why you get the side effects from the vaccine is because of the lack of blood flow. So that's why I mentioned vitamin E and probably butcher's broom and other things, nattokinase, that act as blood thinners to help counteract the effects of the spike protein, which is also the effects of one of the things, the vaccine. And yeah, I mean, someone just brought up the whole idea of chemtrails. I mean, you know, we're systematically under attack and we just, and again, my faith is not in myself. My faith is in God. And I, again, encourage you that if you aren't right with God, that you make yourself right with God. Well, we're nearly to the end of our time. And I hope that this is at least, and again, please do not fear. You know, when Jesus talked about last days, he said, do not let your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. Okay. Out of difficult things, good things happen. There always has to be chaos and problems that precede the ability to restructure things in a better way. So it's necessary for the system that we live in to come down so a better one can eventually come. So don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. Be prepared. Do some things to be prepared. But put your trust in God, not just in the physical preparations you make. And he will not let you down. All right, everybody. Have a great evening. We've reached the end of our time. Again, going back to here, I would encourage you, if you want to know more, go to Brighteon or YouTube and look me up and get watch some of the emergency preparedness videos or become a member and watch the ones I have online and then be able to get the ones that are coming in the future. Get my books so you have some understanding of how to use remedies and how to prepare remedies. And if you want in-depth training on it, then sign up for the class I'm doing at Know Your Wellness. God bless you all. This has been recorded. The recording will be available on my website. It will also be available on Brighteon for sure. Probably my Rumble account. I'm debating about whether to put it up on YouTube because I've said too many things there are words they listen for and they ban videos of people who say that. So I probably won't put it on YouTube because I haven't had any strikes against my channel and I want to keep it that way. And one of the reasons why I'm doing these webinars and putting them on my website behind my server where you have to log in to get them, future ones, is so that I can say whatever I want and not worry about being censured. Because right now there are a lot of things I want to say that if I put it up on social media, I would just get deplatformed. So that's why I chose to do it in my member program. Again, God bless. Thanks, everybody, and good night.